Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Our public lands are gifts to us all. We hear each day about the grand national parks. Wilderness is in the news almost daily, and the challenges of the great western lands faced with drilling, exploration, and development figure central to the debate on the future of America's lands and landscapes. But steady as you go, the quiet wonders of our national river system seem to keep on rolling. When we return, we roll on down the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway on the voice of the earth, the Wildside News. So grab on, grab an oar or two, and get ready to launch.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
It was 30 years ago, I started my career as a naturalist at St. Croix State Park, the largest state park in Minnesota. The park got its name from the Grand Wide River that formed the southern border of the park, across which lay the rolling pastures of Wisconsin. I spent two summers there before moving on to other parks, other states, other places, and well, it's been a great life as a naturalist, an artist, and interpreter of the lands. Today, I get to return to my beginnings. I welcome our guest, Tom Bradley, superintendent of the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway. Tom, welcome to the Wildside News.
Thank you, Sydney.
Yeah, hey, now you're up in the upper Midwest. I grew up there, graduated from Stillwater High School, went to the University of Minnesota, spent time, as I say, in the park there. It's winter in Minnesota. Why don't you give us a sense of what winter in Minnesota on this day is like?
Well, today it's snowy and cold.
That sounds like a regular day.
And the much of the river is already frozen.
That's interesting. The river is frozen out. Now, actually, can people get out on that river? Is it still freezing up enough to... I know people just drive the cars and snowmobiles on the river. Is that still possible?
It is possible in the calmer stretches, which here they call flowages. That's usually above impoundments. But yes, you can. It's not that cold yet, and I wouldn't advise doing it. But rivers are largely frozen, and those that aren't, you can pretty big ice floes crashing down.
You know, this is the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway, and it's part of what most people think of as the Wild and Scenic Rivers system. Give us a little heads up on what the difference would be between a wild and scenic river and a scenic riverway.
Well, it's all pretty arbitrary. The wild stretches would be those where you cannot access it by car very easily, or as you can. And there's scenic rivers then, which would be more accessible, and recreational rivers even more accessible. There's currently about 100 and probably 180 rivers in the system now, which is a great growth from when Walter Mondale and Gaylord Nelson, with their far-seeing vision, created this new system 35-some years ago.
Right. As a matter of fact, St. Croix National Scenic... Has it always been the National Scenic Riverway, or was it considered a wild and scenic river originally?
This has always been a scenic riverway.
Gotcha. And it was one of the original eight. Now, do you have any idea, besides the fact that it was Minnesota, why this river was chosen?
No, except that it was then and still is relatively a pristine river. The St. Croix also includes the major tributary, which is the Namekagon. Was then and still is very clean, and also because of its proximity to the Twin Cities, it was felt to be threatened by development.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, just for people's information, they may not know this, but there's actually, I have some little numbers here, 5,353.2 miles of wild rivers. Well, there's also 2,481.2 miles of scenic rivers, 3,503 miles of recreational rivers, for a total of 11,337 miles of rivers. I challenge someone out there to travel them all. Do you know if anybody's trying to do that?
I don't know that. I know some of our staff really enjoy taking trips. One was just up at Aniakchak National Monument in Alaska this past summer, but no, I don't think anybody's done that. That would be quite a challenge.
It'd be interesting. Someone will, now that the challenge is out there, you know.
Right.
Well, let's talk about the St. Croix River. First of all, give us sort of an overview of the whole system.
252 miles of river, the St. Croix and the Namekagon. 227 miles are what we call under federal jurisdiction. And then the lowest 25 miles are under state jurisdiction. That would be Minnesota and Wisconsin. The thought there was that because that land was already developed, that the river could be protected through zoning and land use regulations, whereas our stretch, there's quite a bit of fee ownership.
Right, and now there's lots of kinds of rivers. This one happens to be kind of a gentle river, and therefore it leads to a variety of easier recreational activities than, let's say, whitewater canoeing and rafting. So let's start talking about some of the opportunities that people, how they can experience this scenic riverway.
Sure, I would think this would be one of the premier, as you say, gentle river canoeing opportunities in the upper Midwest. It's a great place for families. You can canoe for long stretches with enough ripples to keep it interesting, but it's not really gets beyond a class one canoeing. Very much a North Woods atmosphere in the upper reaches, white pine, red pine. You can go for miles without seeing signs of civilization. A good livery system is in place where you can rent your equipment if that's what you need to do, and they're happy to shuttle cars up and down the river. Campsites every few miles. We don't have the visitation logo where we have to have a permit system. It's first come, first serve. Works pretty well. Very, very, very nice system here.
So if a person is on the river and they want to camp, are there designated campsites, or is there sort of a process or a policy by which people can choose a site and set up?
No, we have designated sites, and as I say, there's adequate supply for the demand. The lower river, and that's the lowest 52 miles, which is a combined federal and state zones, there are not, we don't have designated sites yet. That's a bit more problematic, but that's probably more suited for local people with power boats. I think most visitors here would probably be more interested in canoeing in the upper reaches.
Right. Now, the river actually can be somewhat personal as it starts out, and then as we were discussing here, it actually gets to be quite a broad spectrum river.
You're absolutely right. The upper reaches below Namekagon Dam are quite small and intimate. There is some little bit of white water there, nothing too challenging. But as you suggest, as it broadens out, it becomes quite a bit wider. Some places the current is not much at all, and I think wind then becomes a factor, as it would on a large lake.
Now, there is one hang-up, and actually that's right. Also worked was at Taylor's Falls, where you have what is known as the Dalles, which is considered sort of the Switzerland of America. It's a gorgeous area of a very ancient old basalt rock, and just as a real, that just brings me back to my naturalist days, because I used to conduct the tours of the potholes there. The river was actually formed as a result of the melt off from the glaciers that were locked up in Canada for a million years, and as those waters began to melt during another warming trend, huge rivers formed to wash that water out, and they flowed through the dales and cut a huge gorge through the solid rock. But one of the outcomes of that were the potholes, which are these holes carved in at the bottom of this river, which now we walk on top of, created by swirling rocks. Kind of an interesting part of the river.
Oh, it really is, and it's you do a good job. It's still there, and
thanks.
So those programs are still given. So.
I spent a lot of Saturdays and Sundays. It's also a great. This is one of the aspects of this river too, in terms of a scenic riverway. That's a fairly beautiful and fun little town.
It really is. Both towns, they're sort of sister towns. Taylor's Falls, where I live, and St. Croix Falls, immediately across the river. Very nice, great spot. It's like Lake Wobegon here.
It is that.
Good community theater and some good restaurants now and B&Bs. It's just a really nice area.
It's kind of like an upscale downriver experience. As well, it goes into the area of Stillwater, which is a huge art complex now.
That's right. It really is Stillwater. And also, I would say, it's become kind of an antique mecca in this part of the world. a lot of antique stores in Stillwater now.
Now, if people wanted to, as they're traveling down the river, what sort of wildlife would they be likely to encounter?
Well, obviously white-tailed deer. We also have, if you're lucky, river otter, mink. Bald eagles have come back very strongly here, and you always see them. Often you'll see an osprey. It depending on the seasons, there'll be migratory waterfowl. It's a great place just to kind of roll along. You don't have to pay a lot of attention to what you're doing.
That's right.
Watch the wildlife and the scenery.
Also some terrific shore fishing and boat fishing for crappie and catfish and largemouth bass.
That's true. And as you go further up Sydney, it's a kind of a premier smallmouth bass fishery. And then all the way up to the top, it kind of transitions into a cold water fishery with a variety of trout species.
Well, Tom, I'm going to bless us with a little treat here. Having grown up in that region, my family lived there. My mother, this is fun for me. I think my mom is listening. So this is for all of us, okay? We hope that this ultimately will become the national anthem of the St. Croix River National Scenic Riverway. I'm going to sing a song that she wrote about the St. Croix River. Are you ready for that?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. I'll do my best. I had been searching for a valley where my heart would long to stay, where the years could slip away and my hair could turn to gray. Then I heard ripples on the river answer back in harmony in this lovely St. Croix Valley. Stay with me. There you have it, Tom.
Great, Sydney.
Thanks for being on the show.
Well, you're very welcome.
This is fun. I always have fun here with people here on the Wild Side News. See you next time.